家好，这里是北京外语广播正在播出的大学生英语在线 Question of the Day， 我是 Larry。 那又到周末了，每到周末我们都会聊一聊 TED TED Talk， 希望对大家的雅思和托福学习有所帮助和启发。我们请来的嘉宾老师是 UEI 学校的壮壮老师，老师好。
Hello。And today in the TED Talk, we have a speaker of the name Juan Enriquez.
今天讲话的这个人叫胡安·恩里盖，这是一个西班牙名字，西班牙文的名字。Juan Enriquez will talk about, will our kids be a different species?
这个话题很有意思，今天他的演讲主题是我们的孩子是不是一种另外的生物？
对，会不会变成另外一个物种啊？说起这个话题呢，我就想到了在雾霾比较严重的时候呢，我看网上流行一幅图。那么这一幅图呢，讲人类啊，一进化是吧？为了这个抵御雾霾的天气呢，这个鼻毛也长了，然后长到胡子那种程度啊，它就是适应环境的这个表现啊。所以呢，这个人就问我们以后的子孙后代会不会就变成另外一个物种了呢？咱们来看一下介绍。Throughout human evolution, multiple versions of humans coexisted. Could we be mid-upgrade now? At TEDx Summit, Juan Enriquez sweeps across time and space to bring us to the present moment and shows how technology is revealing evidence that suggests rapid evolution may be underway. 所以这个人呢，他会讲，在这个讲话之中，他说好多的不同的版本的人其实是共存的。这个我体会，比如说那个肤色不同的人是吧，那我们都是生活在同一个时代，在这个地球上，其实我体会就是这个含义啊。待会儿我们也可以再去听。然后他说这个人呢，跨越时间和空间呢，他就捋了一遍，讲话的人呢给我们带到了现在当今这个时刻，展示了技术其实会加速人的进化。所以说我们中国的同学要到了国外啊，尤其是外国人，他老早就开始使用计算器，他就不背了，咱们还都背，还都心算呢。然后老外就觉得我们中国的同学那简直就是神童啊，
数学特棒，
特棒，没错。还有背那些个什么化学方程式啊，那个我记得一个同学跟我说，他说他们班学习就是中下等的这么一个同学啊，到了美国的学校以后就成顶尖的了，那些人都觉得他是 genius， 因为这个化学方程式他背得烂熟。可是大家知道，其实这个信息和学习能力到底是指你记忆信息的能力，还是你的推测创新？对，这几个技能其实还不太一样。
没错。
那我们的这个教育程度和教育体制呢，其实鼓励的其实更多的是在记忆。像我有一个同学，他说他当年高考的时候失手，但是他背功相当的好。所以他就到了英国之后，他考了一个注册会计师，他把整个的教材从第一个单词一直背到尾。
天哪！
然后就考过了。但是在实际的这个操作过程中，他不懂了。他碰见一个问题，他问他的同事，他说：“你看这个东西怎么解决？”他们同事说，你不是会计师证都考过了吗？对吧？这个书的第一句话是什么来着？他叭又背一遍。他说：“你看，答案就在这里。”可是他背的时候，他不是理解着去背，他只是哐哐哐的把这东西给记住了。所以呢，这个就是人在这个学习的一个阶段所呈现的对一个技能的重视。那如果技术一出现呢，可能对有些技能要求就不高了，你就不用了。
比如说记忆的这个，
因为人他你需要的时候你就去搜索就行了，你只要会搜索，你干嘛还非得去记呢？我觉得现在连看地图的能力甚至都弱化了，是吧？
对，手里打开手机，
他就告诉你了，往东前行200米，请您向右转。是不是啊？所以可能都大家都不需要去看地图了，对吧？什么上北下南左西右东是吧？其实你这个在这个旅行的时候经常用到的技能，现在因为有了这个电子的地图，就直接给你导航，你也就不去记地图了。所以这个记地图的功能，我估计也就随着技术的强化，它就退了。雅思就曾经出现过这样的话题，他说电视机的发明到底是对社会有更多的正面的影响呢，还是有更多的负面影响？ 那我们再听一下呢，这一段呢，他讲的人类在技术发展的情况下，它的进化速度加快到底是怎样的。
All right, so like all good stories, this starts a long, long time ago when there was basically nothing. So here is a complete picture of the universe about 14 odd billion years ago. All energy is concentrated into a single point of energy. For some reason it explodes and you begin to get these things. So you're now about 14 billion years into this. And these things expand and expand and expand into these giant galaxies and you get trillions of them.And within these galaxies, you get these enormous dust clouds. And I want you to pay particular attention to the three little prongs in the center of this picture. If you take a close-up of those, they look like this. And what you're looking at is columns of dust where there's so much dust. By the way, the scale of this is a trillion vertical miles. And what's happening is there's so much dust, it comes together and it fuses and ignites a thermonuclear reaction.And so what you're watching is the birth of stars. These are stars being born out of here. When enough stars come out, they create a galaxy. This one happens to be a particularly important galaxy because you are here. And as you take a close-up of this galaxy, you find a relatively normal, not particularly interesting star. By the way, you're now about two-thirds of the way into this story. So this star doesn't even appear.Until about two-thirds of the way into the story. And then what happens is there's enough dust left over that it doesn't ignite into a star, it becomes a planet. And this is about a little over 4 billion years ago. And soon thereafter, there's enough material left over that you get a primordial soup, and that creates life. And life starts to expand and expand and expand until it goes kaput.Now, the really strange thing is life goes kaput not once, not twice, but five times. So almost all life on Earth is wiped out about five times. And as you're thinking about that, what happens is you get more and more complexity, more and more stuff to build new things with. And we don't appear until about 99.96% of the time into this story. Just to put ourselves and our ancestors in perspective.So within that context, there's two theories of the case as to why we're all here. The first theory of the case is that's all she wrote. Right? Under that theory, we are the be-all and end-all of all creation. And the reason for trillions of galaxies, sextillions of planets, is to create something that looks like that, and something that looks like that.And that's the purpose of the universe, and then it flatlines. It doesn't get any better. The only question you might want to ask yourself is, could that be just mildly arrogant? And if it is, and particularly given the fact that we came very close to extinction, there were only about 2,000 of our species left, a few more weeks without rain, we would have never seen any of these,So maybe you have to think about a second theory, if the first one isn't good enough. Second theory is, could we upgrade? Well, why would one ask a question like that? Because there have been at least 29 upgrades so far of humanoids. So it turns out that we have upgraded, and we've upgraded time and again and again, and it turns out that we keep discovering upgrades. We found this one last year. We found another one last month.And as you're thinking about this, you might also ask the question, so why a single human species? Wouldn't it be really odd if you went to Africa and Asia and Antarctica and found exactly the same bird? Particularly given that we coexisted at the same time with at least 8 other versions of humanoid at the same time on this planet. So the normal state of affairs is not to have just a Homo sapiens. The normal state of affairs is to have various versions of humans walking around. And if that is the normal state of affairs, then you might ask yourself, all right, so if we wanted to create something else, how big does a mutation have to be? Well, Svante Paabo has the answer. The difference between humans and Neanderthal is 0.004% of gene code. That's how big the difference is one species to another. This explains most contemporary political debates. But as you're thinking about this, one of the interesting things is how small these mutations are and where they take place. Difference human Neanderthal is sperm and testes, smell and skin, and those are the specific genes that differ from one to the other. So very small changes can have a big impact. And as you're thinking about this, we're continuing to mutate. So about 10,000 years ago, by the Black Sea, we had one mutation in one gene, which led to blue eyes. And this is continuing and continuing and continuing. And as it continues, one of the things that's going to happen this year is we're going to discover the first 10,000 human genomes because it's gotten cheap enough to do the gene sequencing. And when we find these, we may find differences. And by the way, this is not a debate that we're ready for because we have really misused the science in this. In the 1920s, we thought there were major differences between people. That was partly based on Francis Galton's work. He was Darwin's cousin. But the U.S., the Carnegie Institute, Stanford, and the American Neurological Association took this really far. That got exported and was really misused. In fact, it led to some absolutely horrendous treatment of human beings. So since the 1940s, we've been saying there are no differences. We are all identical. We're going to know at year end if that is true. And as we think about that, we're actually beginning to find things like, do you have an ACE gene? Why would that matter? Because nobody's ever climbed an 8,000-meter peak without oxygen that doesn't have an ACE gene. And if you want to get more specific, how about a 577R genotype? Well, it turns out that every male Olympic power athlete ever tested carries at least one of these variants. If that is true, it leads to some very complicated questions for the London Olympics. Three options. Do you want the Olympics to be a showcase for really hardworking mutants? Option number two. Why don't we play it like golf or sailing? Because you have one and you don't have one, I'll give you a tenth of a second head start. Version number three, because this is a naturally occurring gene and you've got it and you didn't pick the right parents, you get the right to upgrade. Three different options, if these differences are the difference between an Olympic medal and a non-Olympic medal. And it turns out that as we discover these things, we human beings really like to change how we look, how we act, what our bodies do. And we had about 10.2 million plastic surgeries in the United States, except that with the technologies that are coming online today, today's corrections, deletions, augmentations, and enhancements are going to seem like child's play. You already saw the work by Tony Atala on TED, but this ability to start filling things like inkjet cartridges with cells are allowing us to print skin, organs, and a whole series of other body parts. And as these technologies go forward, you know, you keep seeing this, you keep seeing this, you keep seeing things, 2000, human genome sequence, and it seems like nothing's happening until it does. And we may just be in some of these weeks. And as you're thinking about, you know, these two guys sequencing a human genome in 2000 and the public project sequencing the human genome in 2000, then you don't hear a lot. Till you hear about an experiment last year in China, where they take skin cells from this mouse, put four chemicals on it, turn those skin cells into stem cells, let the stem cells grow, and create a full copy of that mouse. That's a big deal. Because in essence, what it means is you can take a cell, which is a pluripotent stem cell, which is like a skier at the top of a mountain. And those two skiers become two pluripotent stem cells, 4, 8, 16, and then it gets so crowded after 16 divisions that those cells have to differentiate. So they go down one side of the mountain, they go down another, and as they pick that, these become bone, and then they pick another road, and these become platelets, and these become macrophages, and these become T cells, but it's really hard once you ski down to get back up. Unless, of course, if you have a ski lift. And what those four chemicals do is they take any cell and take it way back up the mountain so it can become any body part. And as you think of that, what it means is, potentially, you can rebuild a full copy of any organism out of any one of its cells. That turns out to be a big deal because now you can take not just mouse cells, but you can take human skin cells and turn them into human stem cells. And then what they did in October is they took skin cells, turned them into stem cells, and began to turn that into liver cells. So in theory, you could grow any organ from any one of your cells. Here's a second experiment. If you could photocopy your body, maybe you also want to take your mind. And one of the things you saw at TED about a year and a half ago was this guy. And he gave a wonderful technical talk. He's a professor at MIT. But in essence, what he said is you can take retroviruses, which get inside brain cells of mice. You can tag them with proteins that light up when you light them. And you can map the exact pathways when a mouse sees, feels, touches, remembers, loves. And then you can take a fiber optic cable and light up some of the same things. And by the way, as you do this, you can image it in two colors, which means you can download this information as binary code directly into a computer. So what's the bottom line on that? Well, it's not completely inconceivable that someday you'll be able to download your own memories. Maybe into a new body. And maybe you can upload other people's memories as well. And this might have just one or two small ethical, political, moral implications. Here's the kind of questions that are becoming interesting questions for philosophers, for governing people, for economists, for scientists. Because these technologies are moving really quickly. And as you think about it, let me close with an example of the brain. The first place where you would expect to see enormous evolutionary pressure today, both because of the inputs, which are becoming massive, and because of the plasticity of the organ, is the brain. Do we have any evidence that that is happening? Well, let's take a look at something like autism incidence per 1,000. Here's what it looks like in 2000. Here's what it looks like in 2002, 2006, 2008. Here's the increase in less than a decade. And we still don't know why this is happening. What we do know is, potentially, the brain is reacting in a hyper-reactive, hyper-plastic way and creating individuals that are like this. And this is only one of the conditions that's out there. You've also got people who are extraordinarily smart, people who can remember everything they've seen in their lives, people who've got synesthesia, people who've got schizophrenia. We've got all kinds of stuff going on out there, and we still don't understand how and why this is happening. But one question you might want to ask is, are we seeing a rapid evolution of the brain and of how we process data? Because when you think of how much data is coming into our brains, we're trying to take in as much data in a day as people used to take in a lifetime. And as you're thinking about this, there's four theories as to why this might be going on, plus a whole series of others. I don't have a good answer. There really needs to be more research on this. One option is a fast food fetish. There is beginning to be some evidence that obesity and diet have something to do with gene modifications which may or may not have an impact on how the brain of an infant works. A second option is the sexy geek option. These conditions are highly rare. But what's beginning to happen is because these geeks are all getting together because they are highly qualified for computer programming and it is highly remunerated, as well as other very detail-oriented tasks, that they are concentrating geographically and finding like-minded mates. So this is the assortive mating hypothesis of these genes reinforcing one another in these structures. The third is this too much information. We're trying to process so much stuff that some people get synesthetic and just have huge pipes and remember everything. Other people get hypersensitive to the amount of information. Other people react with various psychological conditions or reactions to this information. Or maybe it's chemicals. But when you see an increase of that order of magnitude in a condition, either you're not measuring it right or there's something going on very quickly, and it may be evolution in real time. Here's the bottom line. What I think we are doing is we're transitioning as a species, and I didn't think this when Steve Gullins and I started writing together. I think we're transitioning into a Homo evolutus that, for better or worse, is not just a hominid that's conscious of his or her environment, it's a hominid that's beginning to directly and deliberately control the evolution of its own species, of bacteria, of plants, of animals, and I think that's such an order of magnitude change that your grandkids or your great-grandkids may be a species very different from you. Thank you very much.
很长啊，15分钟我们都听完了。
那这一段呢，我觉得在考试的过程中呢，一个是可以作为素材，另外一个呢，有大量的单词描述这个技术啊，还有举了一些例子，这些呢，我都想，虽然我们节目没有机会再给大家放一遍了，希望大家在节目结束后再回放。同时，如果你要想获得这个相关的背景资料和文字资料的话呢，大家可以加入我们的 QQ 群。The number of our QQ group is
331764. 加入进来，您就可以获取更多的英语学习资料。
对，同时呢，我想说呢，即使是你是理工科很强的，那你要是把英文这个技能给突破上去呢，也是很好的组合。
那你就无敌了。
无敌。
没错。那谢谢大家的收听，也谢谢壮壮老师的陪伴。
好，希望大家加油学习。
我们下期节目再见。
See you next time。
大学生英语在线。你想知道的问题，你告诉他；你没想到的问题，他告诉你。最顶尖的英语专家，最有效的学习方法，雅思托福 GRE 轻松得分没问题。Question of the day， 大学生英语在线，每天上午6:30，晚上11:00，与您准时相约。这是一副神秘的配方，将雅思托福 GRE 口语听力词汇写作的问题放入砂锅，加入有实战经验的考官老师和主持人，每天小火慢熬半小时，从双耳灌入，配合每周日不同的提神配方，长期服用可以调节你对考试的感受，也会带给你轻松快乐的正能量。大学生英语在线，每天半小时，不轻松不散场。
Well, I'm just people watching the other people watching.Other people watching we, and we're as lonely as we wanted to be. We're all as lonely as we wanted to be. We're just as lonely as we wanted to be. I'm just you, you're just me. It's only true.
你最想得到什么东西？
汽车 ，money，
豪宅，
漂亮女朋友，
芭比娃娃。
健康。
北京人民广播电台提醒您：关爱自己的健康，才能带来长久的幸福。
backyard, pull up in your fast car, whistling my name. Open up a beer and you say get over here and play a video game. I'm in his favorite sundress, watching me get undressed, take that body downtown. I say you're the bestest, leaning for a big kiss, put his favorite perfume on, go play a video game. It's you, it's you, it's all for you, everything I do, I tell you all the time. Heaven is a place on earth with you, tell me all the things you wanna do. I heard that you like the bad girls, honey. Is that true? It's better than I ever even knew. They say that the world was built for two. Only with living if somebody is loving you. Maybe now you do. Swinging with the old stars, living for the fame. Kissing in the blue dark, playing, pulling wild dots, video game.
You alright? Right.
He holds me in his big arms, drunk and I am seeing stars, this is all I think of. Watching all our friends fall